Their paths diverged more and more as they flew, and where Bernard made a clumsy, crunching landing and bounce on his wall, Ali did a glancing triple bounce on three surfaces near the corner that left him most of his speed and sent him flying off at a surprising angle. Ali shouted and whooped, and so did the boys watching him. Some of them forgot they were weightless and let go of the wall to clap their hands. Now they drifted lazily in many directions, waving their arms, trying to swim. Now that's a problem, thought Ender. What if you catch yourself drifting? There's no way to push off. He was tempted to set himself adrift and try to solve the problem by trial and error, but he could see the others, their useless efforts at control, and he couldn't think of what he would do that they weren't already doing. Holding on to the floor with one hand, he fiddled idly with the toy gun that was attached to his suit in front, just below the shoulder. Then he remembered the hand rockets sometimes used by Marines when they did a boarding assault on an enemy station. He pulled the gun from his suit and examined it. He had pushed all the buttons back in the room, but the gun did nothing there. Maybe here, in the battle room, it would work. There were no instructions on it, no labels on the controls. The trigger was obvious. He had had toy guns, as all children had, almost since infancy. There were two buttons that his thumb could easily reach, and several others along the bottom of the shaft that were almost inaccessible without using two hands. Obviously, the two buttons near his thumb were meant to be instantly usable. He aimed the gun at the floor and pulled back on the trigger. He felt the gun grow instantly warm. Then he let go of the trigger. It cooled at once. Also, a tiny circle of light appeared on the floor where he was aiming. He thumbed the red button at the top of the gun and pulled the trigger again. Same thing. Then he pushed the white button. It gave a bright flash of light that illuminated a wide area, but not as intensely. The gun was quite cold when the button was pressed. The red button makes it like a laser, but it is not a laser, Dap had said, while the white button makes it a lamp. Neither will be much help when it comes to maneuvering. So everything depends on how you push off, the course you set when you start. It means we're going to have to get very good at controlling our launches and rebounds, or we're all going to end up floating around in the middle of nowhere. Ender looked around the room. A few of the boys were drifting close to walls now, flailing their arms to catch a handhold. Most were bumping into each other and laughing. Some were holding hands and going around in circles. Only a few, like Ender, were calmly holding on to the walls and watching. One of them, he saw, was Ali. He had ended up on another wall not too far from Ender. On impulse, Ender pushed off and moved quickly toward Ali. Once in the air, he wondered what he would say. Ali was Bernard's friend. What did Ender have to say to him? Still, there was no changing course now, so he watched straight ahead and practiced making tiny leg and hand movements to control which way he was facing as he drifted. Too late, he realized that he had aimed too well. He was not going to land near Ali. He was going to hit him. "Here, snag my hand," Ali called. Ender held out his hand. Ali took the shock of impact and helped Ender make a fairly gentle landing against the wall. "That's good," Ender said. "We ought to practice that kind of thing." "That's what I thought, only everybody's turning to butter out there," Ali said. "What happens if we get out there together? We should be able to shove each other in opposite directions." "Yeah. Okay?" It was an admission that all might not be right between them. "Is it okay for us to do something together?" Ender's answer was to take Ali by the wrist and get ready to push off. "Ready?" said Ali. "Go." Since they pushed off with different amounts of force, they began to circle each other. Ender made some small hand movements, then shifted a leg. They slowed. He did it again. They stopped orbiting. Now they were drifting evenly. "Packed head, Ender," Ali said. It was high praise. "Let's push off before we run into that bunch. And then let's meet over in that corner." Ender did not want this bridge into the enemy's camp to fail. "Last one there saves farts in a milk bottle," Ali said. Then, slowly, steadily, they maneuvered until they faced each other, spread-eagled, hand-to-hand, knee-to-knee. "And then we just scrunch?" asked Ali. "I've never done this before either," said Ender. They pushed off. It propelled them faster than they expected. Ender ran into a couple of boys and ended up on a wall that he hadn't expected. It took him a moment to reorient and find the corner where he and Alai were to meet. Alai was already headed toward it. Ender plotted a course that would include two rebounds to avoid the largest clusters of boys. When Ender reached the corner, Alai had hooked his arms through two adjacent handholds and was pretending to doze. "You win." "I want to see your fart collection," Alai said. "I stored it in your locker, didn't you notice? I thought it was my socks. We don't wear socks anymore." "Oh, yeah." A reminder that they were both far from home. It took some of the fun out of having mastered a bit of navigation. Ender took his pistol and demonstrated what he had learned about the two thumb buttons. "What does it do when you aim at a person?" asked Alai. "I don't know." "Why don't we find out?" Ender shook his head. "We might hurt somebody." "I meant, why don't we shoot each other in the foot or something? I'm not Bernard. I never tortured cats for fun." "Oh. Can't be too dangerous or they wouldn't give these guns to kids." "Well, we're soldiers now." "Shoot me in the foot." "No, you shoot me." "Let's shoot each other." They did. Immediately, Ender felt the leg of the suit grow stiff, immobile at the knee and ankle joints.